Is China's economic growth slowing down?
Growth for 2018 overall is going to be held back.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. China's economy grew by 6.8% in the last quarter of 2017. Those figures out today beat expectations, given China's worries about ballooning debt, environmental pollution, and its efforts to move from just growth to higher quality growth. Freya Beamish is the chief Asian economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics in the UK.
I think actually a lot of this growth was front-loaded in the first part of the year, particularly in Q1 and potentially also in Q3. At this early stage, it does look like growth slowed quite sharply in Q4. And I think that is because of this pivot in the social contract, if you like, from thou shalt have very high GDP growth to, oh dear, we can't breathe and we really need to do something about the environment. And as a result of that, there have been a lot of stringent environmental targets that have been put into place, and those came into effect over the winter period right at the beginning of Q4.
And what's your forecast then going forward?
Growth for 2018 overall is going to be held back by the lagged effect of the rise in interest rates last year, a continual tightening of liquidity conditions, the ongoing regulatory tightening, which equates to a systemic tightening, and just the fear of greater enforcement, which has come about in the course of the last few months. That's likely to contribute to tightening liquidity conditions and bringing the property market down and also impacting on real GDP growth. So actually, I think growth probably will be lower than 4%, which is quite a shocking number. But that takes into account that the Fed will be hiking over the course of this year, and that also will tighten Chinese liquidity conditions further.
Freya Beamish, let's do the numbers. Shares of Airbus are up about 2% after Dubai-based Emirates Airlines signed an agreement to order up to 36 A380 jets, a deal valued at $16 billion. Meanwhile, oil prices are mixed amid a report that Iraq will sign a deal today with BP to ramp up production in its northern Kirkuk oil fields. Now, India and Israel have officially been friends for 25 years. And with Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, on his first ever India trip, it's all about trade. I asked the BBC's Samir Hashmi in Mumbai what kinds of deals are on the table.
At the heart of this partnership between India and Israel is defense, because India is the biggest purchaser of arms in the world. Israel has a huge market, and it's looking for a big market like India to whom it could sell. And that is what Israel is looking in the long term, and India also realizes that a lot of these arms which it purchases from Israel in the long run could fulfill its military needs, because India still imports most of its arms. And that's what exactly we have seen during this trip as well. India had placed an order for anti-guided missiles a few years ago, but surprisingly they cancelled that deal just 2 months back. Now on this trip, Prime Minister Netanyahu has been able to convince his counterpart, Prime Minister Narendra Modi, to revive that deal. And now that deal is back on the table, which has come as a huge surprise for some here in India. Because on one hand, India was looking to manufacture those arms locally. But given that both countries are keen to deepen the economic partnership, they think that this deal could play a big role in the long run to enhance that relationship.
And bilateral trade's been growing for some time now.
Well, that's right. If you look at India and Israel's partnership, it only started in 1992. But as of now, bilateral trade is about a little over $4 billion. But both the countries realize that there's huge potential to scale this figure up. And that's why they have signed a memorandum of understanding in many spheres like space, science and technology. You have 130 entrepreneurs who have come down from Israel on this trip to see if there are any investment opportunities in India. So clearly there is an intent on both sides to take this figure up much higher in the years to come.
Samir Hashmi in Mumbai. As the Pope departs Chile today, his visit has come under fire for reasons other than allegations of sexual abuse within the church. The BBC's Jane Chambers is in Santiago.
A lot of people in Chile just think it's very, very expensive and they're not happy about the cost of it. The estimated cost is around 7 billion Chilean pesos, and that's around 11 million US dollars. So many Chileans think that that money would have been better spent elsewhere, just like someone I spoke to called Christian Gonzalez.
I think considering all the problems that Chile is facing in terms of education, pensions and healthcare, the papal visit cost far too much money and it would have been better spent on things we need, like a better education system. The Catholic Church should be responsible for 100% of all the costs and the government shouldn't have to pay for any of it.
Having said that, many people say the trip's given the economy a huge boost. I mean, there have been lots of tourists coming in from the rest of Latin America. Don't forget that the Pope is actually Argentinian and he's not going to visit Argentina. So lots of Argentinians have come across to see him. All this comes at a time when there's been a slowdown in the economy during President Bachelet's time. The World Bank has recently been accused of actually manipulating those figures. I mean, there's a bit of a scandal going on about that at the moment. And there's this idea that there's been all this doom and gloom about Chile's economy recently, saying how much it's slowed down and how it hasn't done very well and how her policies have been wanting to spend lots of money when there wasn't money available. And recently they had elections before Christmas, and millionaire businessman Sebastian Piñera has been re-elected for a second time. And I think a lot of the reason that happened because they feel that he can get Chile back on its feet, he can get business moving again.
Jane Chambers in Chile. Finally, the world's most valuable distiller is running out of stock. China's Mutai Distillery makes a spicy grain liquor called Flying Fairy. It's so popular, Mutai's market value has surged to more than $145 billion, well past British whiskey giant Diageo, and they've sold out. Cheers to that. Or gone bay, as they say in China. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.